Law Office Management, this is your guide for week number 7. This week, we focus on some of the things that you probably should know at this point, but in a more directed law office management type way. So read the textbook if you have not. I also ask that you read and review the applicable IRPC sections on conflicts, diligence, expediting litigation. And remember, there's two parts to this forum this week. So organize your responses with headings, clear organization, and justification for your choices and comments. Read those sections of the IRPC and the textbook before you attempt to listen to this guide. You'll note that part one of your assignment starts off with a look at conflicts of interest, what it is in the context of a law office. Now, we've, in various courses, reviewed this part of the ethical code, and you've discussed it in probably more than just my classes. What we're looking at are the practical concerns when a potential client calls us or seeks to hire our law firm. What sort of mechanisms, electronic or otherwise, can we implement to use or prevent, or can we implement or use to prevent a conflict from coming up after we'd already agreed to take on a client or be involved in the matter? So, what we're talking about here is the process of making sure we don't have a conflict of interest. And if you've read the textbook chapter, you have an idea where I'm going here. If you have not, man, I really hope you do. You bought the book, but you need to read the textbook. And if you haven't reviewed those IRPC sections, then you're going to be at a loss here, because I'm talking about the process. So imagine yourself working in a law office. You are in a law office. You have a phone call from someone who seeks to be a client of that office. You do the initial intake. We've talked about, some of you are in family law. A family law paralegal, more often than not, is going to talk to the potential client before the lawyer. So you're that person in that role talking to this client or potential client. And you get all the information that we've recently reviewed in family law that you would try to get from that potential client. One of the first things you're going to want to do is determine if there's a conflict of interest. There are systems that allow us to do this. So I'll give you a little historical perspective. When I started practicing law, not every lawyer and paralegal had a computer on their desk. Most processes were paper-driven. When I say most processes were paper-driven, this conflicts check was paper-driven. In our office, we had a file box of these little cards. These cards had, in alphabetical order, the name of every client or past client we had ever had in that office. So when a new potential client came into the office, that was the resource you would use to determine if there was a conflict. You would take that potential client's name and search for them, remembering that if it's a female potential client, or I guess any potential client who was married, find out all former names, and then you would find or go and look for the name of the person on the other side of whatever their issue is, or persons if there's more than one, and all their potential names, and you would search to find or make sure that those individuals weren't in our list of former clients. Current clients. was a manual process. Well, now as you do your research for conflict of interest systems, and as we get deeper into this exercise of you understanding the types of systems lawyers have in their office to manage their practice, this will be one that you're going to have to come up with when we open our new law office in about 7 more weeks. So that's part one. Part two, in that scenario, you are my office manager for our 4-lawyer, 2-paralegal litigation law firm. What we're focused on there is the types of electronic calendaring systems you would recommend we utilize. So the calendar of our court hearings, trials, depositions, etc. for each lawyer and the firm as a whole could be accessed and updated from our office computers as well as our web-enabled smartphones, tablets, etc. And I want you to explore the cost for such programs. Now, this is commonplace today. Not all offices have moved to this, you know, very convenient format. You know that for you from orientation on, I encourage you to use your Google Calendar that comes part of your ICC, your current ICC student email, which is supported by Google, but then you can also add your personal one, you know, the one with the email that includes your name that I suggested you set up so you have a way to send your resume to internship and host and job opportunities. You can access that Google Calendar from any web-enabled device. Anywhere you are, you can access the web. So lawyers have the same need and ability. And most lawyers have moved to some variation of having this available. Now, for a sole practitioner, they have a different need, and maybe the Google Calendar works fine for them. For a multiple lawyer office with multiple people, like I just described and your parameters for this part of your assignment for this week, you need to have something that shows the schedule for each lawyer and the firm as a whole, especially when it comes to trials and hearings and litigation type things. Now, part of that is so each lawyer can keep their schedule and expectations straight. But the other part of that is we often back one another up. Litigation has a lot of moving parts and a lot of things we don't actually control. And so it may be that I need another lawyer to cover for me tomorrow because I got called away to trial or I've been hung up on trial that was supposed to have been done and it's still just lingering on. All kinds of reasons. Illness, all right? Lots of different reasons that my other lawyers and the paralegals in my office would need to access and consider my calendar. We typically, and you know, I came from a law office about the size I'm describing, and we typically would try to avoid scheduling more than one trial at a time because the burden on our support staff and the other people in the firm was such when one person was on trial, that it just created headaches, havoc. So we tried to avoid that. We tried to schedule things so that we had balance in our office. And we weren't all running scattered across the prairie, all doing things at the same time, and nobody was available in the office to talk to new clients, to make sure that issues were resolved, to address things that somebody who's on trial can't address. So you're going to look at these systems, and you're going to analyze those systems, and you're going to come up with some solutions. On both of these, again, this is week 7, so in 6 weeks from now, I guess, we'll start our final project, which is, you know, you taking the role of office manager and going and setting up our new law firm as we split some number of lawyers and a type of practice that I'll provide to you later from an existing law firm and we have to set up a completely new office. So the work you put in now, you're just going to update based on those parameters, and the work you put in now will definitely ease your efforts later. You want to have those efforts eased because then you're putting together all the parts in a big picture, and if you don't do the work now, it's going to be awfully difficult to add it in at that point. So do your best here to explore. Make sure you read the text, read those IRPC sections, listen to this guide, and then put in the time and effort and schedule the time and effort to do that. This is your week 7 guide, and we move on to timekeeping next week for week 8 before we take 1 week off for spring break. If you need me, you know where to find me. Otherwise, stay well.